pastor here, and I'm thankful for that. We are in this teaching series called You Matter, and it's because you do. You really do matter. And if you're struggling with whether or not that anybody would notice if you disappeared tomorrow, please hear this. No matter where you are, that God loves you. And we get our value. We get our value from who God is and His love for us, not for what you can accomplish, not for what you can do. And this morning we get to watch how we partner with a local organization, a local nonprofit, and they show up in women's lives who find themselves in a crisis, a pregnancy crisis. And this organization is amazing that they come in and they let these women know how valuable they are to God, that they matter to God. And they share that with them. And they let them know that they have some options. So take a listen in to this.
Here with Jess Pacillo, and we have a special fundraising thing that we're doing with an organization that you've been involved with. Can you tell us a little bit about Harmony and the mission and vision of Harmony?
You know, our mission is to end the demand for abortion in Rhode Island and beyond. So, you know, Southern Eastern Baths and such. The vision is really to create a culture that supports life and affirms life choices and brings wholeness and restoration to the community. And we do that in a various amount of ways. We serve women facing unplanned pregnancies. We give them pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STD testing, and we really help them in that moment of decision. That's kind of our expertise, is that moment of decision, and really helping to calm the chaos that's happening so that they can have a little bit of a clear space for the Holy Spirit to work for them to listen to what's the truth and the reality about what's happening.
So kind of taking and moving the situation from a place of trauma and crisis to a place where they can really start to process and make some
absolutely
thoughtful decisions. So we're in this You Matter series, and what I love about Harmony and CareNet is that they really do focus on that individual. So how does Harmony help drive home that point that these patients matter?
So we have a different bit of philosophy compared to some other traditional pregnancy centers, where we don't just focus on the life of that unborn child. We also focus on the mom. We focus on the support system. So whether it's a father of the baby, a mother, a grandmother, or a friend, we focus on all of them. So we bring the women in, and we give them their medical services to support their physical needs. We give them emotional services with an advocate who really checks in with their support system, or checks in with them about their support system. What do they have in place? We also come at it as with a spiritual aspect, because we were all created with a hole in our heart for Jesus, and these women just don't know that yet. So we created a time within their appointment that they actually get to hear the gospel, and they know that they matter, they know that Jesus loves them, and they have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, which just helps further create that space for the Holy Spirit to really work with them, and really work within their heart. So we show them that they matter because we tell them that they matter. We tell them that they matter to us. We're so glad that they came to us. We tell them that they matter because Jesus loves them. And we invite the party that has come with them during their appointment, if the patient allows, into parts of the appointment, which shows that we care about them. We want to give them the opportunity to ask questions.
I mean, as you can tell, this is a ministry, and ministry means that they need funding.
Yes.
And that's what the Baby Bottle campaign is all about, right? So can
yes.
you tell us a little bit more about that?
So our Baby Bottle campaign, you know, we do that every year here, which we're super blessed by this church and the generosity of this church. It's been amazing. But yeah, so our Baby Bottle kicks off today, So you can pick up a baby bottle. I'll be in the foyer. pick up a baby bottle. I'll also have some information in the bulletin. If you'd like to donate online instead, you can do that as well. And then the return for the baby bottle is the end of the month. So it's just for the month of May, the last Sunday in May, I want to say it's the 29th.
Yep.
You can return the baby bottle back to the location that you picked it up from. So shout out to South County Market.
That's right.
Just return it back to the location you picked it up from. And then we collect it, and then all those funds go directly to the running of the ministry. So it pays for the STD testing, it pays for the ultrasounds, it pays for our post-abortive and our sexual wellness group. So we have sexual wellness and post-abortive studies for women who have chosen that decision of abortion in the past and feel shame and guilt and heartbreak. And if it's that to you today, I want you to either privately message me or come see me. I'd love, love, love to speak with you. Jesus has an answer. He wants to restore you. He wants to give you a heart that is not broken and hurt anymore. So please, please come see me or message me or message the church to get in touch with me. I would love to meet with you.
Well, thank you so much, Jess. And I love your heart for this. And I really do love how it fits into this You Matter series, because if you heard anything, you heard Jess's heart for the women who are dealing with some really tough choices right now. And you absolutely matter to God, and you matter to the church for sure. And we'd love to just continue to support Harmony and CareNet Ministries. So pick up your baby bottle and fill them up.
So those baby bottles are right out in the lobby. And what we're asking you to do is hold on to that for the month, because I want that to be a reminder, not just to put cash in there, but you actually pray. Will you pray for them? Every time you see that bottle, just give, God, be with the Harmony. Be with that ministry that is reaching these women. So we hope that you will do that. Now, if you missed last week, I very rarely ever say this, but if you missed last week, I'm going to encourage you to leave right now and go watch. No, I'm just kidding. Don't leave. I saw you ushers trying to leave. No. If you did miss last week, will you go back and watch it? Because it's foundational. It's foundational to understanding this whole series. And we're going to be in this series until June 5th. Here's the bottom line, is that we find our value from God. And that's it. We don't find our value from our successes. And we don't define our value from our failures. So many of us struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with finding our value for all, and we look at all of our failures, and we're just like, we're such a failure, right? And then we start putting value on us because of that. Last week, we summarized it in this way when we were done. We said, when you understand the foundational truth that your value comes from God, it changes not just your own life, but actually how you see people. Today, we're shifting gears. Today, we're looking at this. John, the Apostle John's going to tell us this, that it matters what you let in your life. It actually matters what you let in your life. Because what you let in your life is what fills you up. And what fills you up is actually what comes out of you. Now, those of you with young kids, you know that this is true, that you live this out in a very practical way. You have your cleaning supplies in one cabinet. And what do? You put locks on those cabinets, childproof locks. So that, and they're such a pain, I remember having them, right? And you'd go to open it, and you can't open it, right? And you got to put your hand in there. Why? Because you don't want your toddler filling themselves up with something that's going to mess with them. And this is the same thing that John is telling us. So take your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to jump right in to verse number 15. So 1 John, this is the smaller letter that John wrote. It's towards the end of the Bible. Don't look at the Gospel of John. This is 1 John, more towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. This is a hard lesson to learn. So many of us We get sucked into loving this world, don't we? Here's what John is doing. John's asking this question, who or what am I choosing to love? Because it's a choice that we make. No one makes you love anything. It's a choice. Love is a choice, a decision that you make on purpose. I tell this to those that I go through premarital counseling with all the time, that you have to make a choice to choose to love your spouse, because there are going to be days when you don't feel like you love your spouse, but you choose to love them. And here John is saying, choose. Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to love this world? Are you going to choose to love God? It's a choice. Jesus' very words, Jesus understood this. Jesus said this way back in Matthew. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, he's making this so clear for us that you can't have one foot, you know, loving the world and one foot loving God. It doesn't work that way. These are the very words of Jesus. You know how this shows up in your life? I remember this conversation so clearly, and it happened. It happened quite a few years ago. But there was a dad right here, a partner right here in our church, who had at that time a young family. And I remember him sharing with a group of us in a small group in a room upstairs. And he said that my work is putting all this pressure on me to work overtime. And I'm watching the guys work overtime. And I'm watching them, you know, and they wear it like a badge of honor. Got 60 hours in this week. Got 70 hours in this week. Yep, I took that call. Oh, I did that. And this dad is sitting there thinking, but I see the end result of that just in you. You're grumpy. You're tired. You are stretched. And then he thought about his own family. And he said, nope, I'm going to choose to love my family. I'm going to choose to be home with my kids. I'm going to choose to be my kids' father. I'm going to choose to be there for my wife instead of putting in 60 and 70 and 80 hours in a week. He made a choice. And it came out in a very practical way. The question is, who are you choosing to love? John goes on in our text in verse number 16. He says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything that we see, a craving for pride in our achievements and our possessions. John says, these are not from the Father, but they're from this world. Now, you understand what a craving is, right? We've all had a craving, whether yours was that chocolate, you know, or yours is that your ice cream, your favorite ice cream, or maybe yours was that Fort Worth ribeye from Texas Roadhouse, right? I mean, that craving comes to me like every week. I don't know what's wrong with me. But you know what? Every week when I show up there, guess what? It comes back. I haven't had one piece of meat from Texas Roadhouse that has lasted me. And what John is saying, what the world has to offer us, it's just going to be like a craving. You're going to crave it, and then you're going to want it the next week and want it the next week. And he says, that's not from God. That's not how God satisfies. The kind of satisfaction that God brings into your life is the kind of satisfaction that satisfies, not a craving that comes one week and then comes again and then comes again. Jesus satisfies. And John is alerting us. It's going to be easy to get sidetracked because of this world that we live in. Because our culture tells us that no, here's what's going to satisfy is if you can just get on that next big vacation, right? If you can just live in that neighborhood, if you can just move to this place, that's where you're going to find satisfaction. And I'm telling you, yes, that is nice for a little while because that's a craving. And it satisfies for a little while, but then that's going to go away. And then you're going to be like, well, where is the fulfillment? And what God is saying, if you're going to live from a posture of the other people matter, don't get sidetracked with what this world has to offer. If you are going to live your life at work, if you are going to live your life, if you're going to live your life in a way that values other people, don't get caught up in loving what this world has to offer. That's why it matters what you let in your life. A filtering question that we can ask ourselves to see how your love is being influenced. So I just want you to think about this with me. Let's walk through this, a couple of examples. This is a question that you can ask yourself to see where is your love being influenced from? How is it being influenced? Because it can be both in a positive or in a negative way. The statement says, or here's the question, when I spend time doing, and then you fill in the blank, or when I spend time with, and you put that person's name in there, I tend to find myself doing more, and then you fill in the blank. So, when I spend time binge watching my favorite TV series, I tend to find myself escaping my reality. And then that series ends, and then you have to come back, and your reality is still there. So you go find another TV series, right? Isn't that what we do? Oh, let's find another series to watch. And then you watch that other series, but guess what? Your reality is still there when that is done. What's influencing your love? A lot of times those series, those shows that we watch, if you're not filtering what you're letting in, you'll buy into that romantic love story that you're watching. You'll buy into the fear that they, you know, the truth that they're trying to get across to you if you don't have the filter of God. Say, no, oh, that's not quite right. When I spend time doing, or when I spend time working more, I tend to find myself looking for more of those attaboys. I tend to find myself looking for the job promotion. I tend to find myself looking, you know, for that raise. And when I don't get it, I dig deeper into that. I work harder. I bury myself more into this. Or when I don't get it, I give up. I get discouraged. I get depressed. I get filled with anxiety. I get, well, why did they get that? Didn't they see how hard I work? See, this is a great question to ask yourself. How are you, what is influencing your love? Now, in a positive way, when I spend time connecting with God in the morning, listening, you know, taking a paragraph and just listening for what God has for me that day, I tend to find myself having a better day. Why? Because so many times, this is what happens, that when you do that, that verse that you read, that word that you hear in the morning in those, you know, 10 minutes, that will be exactly what you need when you run into, you know, her or him. Or, you know, your boss, your supervisor. That will be exactly what you'll be like, oh my gosh, God just told me how to handle this situation. I just read this morning. This is how I'm supposed to respond. And you'll be able to work through that so much better. When I find myself telling God, thank you for what I have, telling God thank you, I tend to find myself being more thankful throughout the day, even when I don't get X. And you fill in the blank. Again, just practical, a great question that we can include in our life. Back to our text, it says, in this world, see, this is the point. This is what John is trying to tell us. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God's will live forever. Everybody's going to die one day. That's just the reality. 100% mortality rate. 100%. You can bank on it. You won't get an investment that can guarantee 100% like that. The reality of that, for me, was this past fall in October, when me and my sister are going through my dad's stuff. He passed away. He went to heaven on September 30th, which we're thankful that we know for sure. We're comforted in that fact. But as we're taking stuff, just putting it in the dumpster, my sister says, "Isn't this sad?" I said, "What?" 78. Look, Dad, 78 years of just Dad's stuff that he's held on to. And where does it end up? In the dumpster. This is why it's so important. Because the material stuff fades away. But you know what doesn't fade away? Our people. And you know what? My sister and I could sit there and what we could reminisce about? We could reminisce with the way that Dad poured into our life. We could reminisce when our dad was there for us. When we called him, he had that word of wisdom. He said, "Son, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for that." And then he'd call me up and he'd follow through. He'd say, "How did that go? Your mom and I were praying for you." See, that kind of stuff never fades. That will never end up in the dumpster. But what this world has to offer just fades. It one day will all be gone. Are you living from a posture where people matter in your life? In 1 John, let's flip over here real quick. 1 John chapter 4. So flip a couple of pages in your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. The context here is that these Christ followers are hearing all these different voices. In the context, they're false teachers. And these false teachers are trying to say, Gnosticism is where it's at. You know, this deeper knowledge is deeper, and this will bring you into a whole new spiritual level to be with God. Or some other false teaching that was going on in those Christ followers' life at that time was that Jesus was just like this mystical being. He came in spirit, not really in flesh and blood. So John speaks to this, and he says in verse number 1, he says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." For us, in our context, I want us to read, there are many false voices in our world. They're on our social media, scroll. Every time you scroll on there, there's so many false voices that come in at us through whatever form of media, however you binge, whatever you binge. There's so many voices that we get. And we have to filter that out. We have to understand what we are hearing. And then we have to hold it up to God's word and say, is that really true? Is the message they're saying really true? He goes on and says, "This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body," you see, that was their issue. That was what specifically they were speaking to. "That person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world." And that was way back then, right? And he says, "Indeed, it's already here." And we can attest to that. We get these kind of voices. We hear these kind of messages all the time. So what we have to do is develop a self-awareness to the voices that we're hearing. How do we do that? So I'm glad you asked this question because I've got an answer. Number one, pray. We got to pray daily and ask God, "God, will you give me eyes today and will you give me ears today so that I can hear from you?" And let me tell you what happens is that after you do that, a month, 2 months, 3 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, all of a sudden you start building something up inside of you. And when you start building up inside of you, somebody will say something, you'll hear something, you'll hear a message in a song, you'll hear somebody make this quote like, oh, do whatever makes you happy, right? And that just won't sit well with you on the inside. Because you know that that's not what God has been saying to you over the past few months or years. You'll be like, oh, this doesn't quite sit well with me. And you'll be watching a movie and you'll hear somebody say, God, our God is the world. And you're like, oh, that's not quite right, right? It's a great movie. Why'd you have to say that? But it just, this is going to hit you sideways, right? Why? Because it's not the truth. This, it's just going to happen to you. So that's why you've got to pray. You've got to get connected to God on a daily basis. You need to invite other people to speak into your blind spots. Now, some of you don't have the privilege of having a spouse. They'll speak into your blind spots. I promise. My wife, you know, she speaks into my blind spots, and I would be wise to listen to her. And you would be wise to listen to your spouse. But you need to have a trusted team of people that can speak into you. Our team knows they can speak into me. Had somebody this week come into my office and said, hey, I know that you're thinking about your sabbatical and you're preparing that, but hey, just remember that when you come back, don't be too charged up, you know, because, you know, that may be kind of wearing on the rest of us, right? You know why they said that? Because it's happened. I have a blind spot. I'll go away. I'll come back. I'm like, oh, dude, grab your squirt guns. We're going to quench hell right now. We're going to put it out, right? That's kind of like inside of me. So, they're like, this. That's a blind spot that I have, but I'm so open to hearing that. And so as they said that, I just kind of smiled and nodded my head. I said, okay, point taken, right? Don't be defensive when somebody speaks into that. Number three, create boundaries. You got to create boundaries. And here's a question that you can do to ask. Again, it's that same question, just applied a different way. A question to help understand, where do you need to create boundaries? Every time I spend time with John, I tend to find myself being more negative. Right? And when you do that, then you think, oh, dude, I need to limit my time when I'm with John, because every time I'm with him, man, it's just one negative thing after another, one negative thing after another. And then I walk away and then I become Mr. Critical. Right? So we got to be careful about who we spend time. When I spend time with Bob, I tend to find myself drinking more. Oh, well, dude, we better limit my time with Bob, right? Because be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine. That's what the Bible says. So we got to be careful about that kind of stuff. So a very just practical question. Again, you can apply it into your life right away. But then John wraps this section up, this paragraph up. He says, but you, here's what he wants you to remember. Again, this is where your value comes from. You belong to God. He's talking to Christ followers. He says, you belong to God, my dear children. And you have already won a victory over those people, those voices, over this nagging thing. You have the Spirit of God inside of you that gives you the power to overcome that those voices, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in this world. This is something that we can go home with today, that you can overcome that thing inside of you, those cravings. Why? Because you've got the Spirit inside of you. And then he says, those people who belong to this world, they speak from this world's viewpoint. And the world listens to them. But we belong to God. And those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the Spirit of truth or the Spirit of deception. My question to you is, do you belong to God? And that's the very first next step. Take out your connection card and it says, I don't belong to God. I want to invite Jesus Christ into my life and to save me. And again, this is about understanding how much you are loved and how much God loves you and how much value He puts on your life, that Jesus would leave heaven and come to earth and die on the cross, be buried, and be raised again on that third day. That's how much you are valued. Don't you want to belong to a God like that and not to what this world has to offer? Because it's going to fade. It's going away. I sat at a reception table yesterday after this wedding with a very successful couple. And as we were talking, and he was talking about life, I said, yeah, but we weren't meant to be here forever. Not here. We all will live somewhere forever. We're just temporary. We're either going to be with God, and that's about belonging with God. Do you belong? If you don't belong to God, indicate that on the connection card. We'll reach out to you. We would love to walk you with. If it's easier for you to text that word trust to our texting number, you'll get an instant reply. Click on the link. And that's in that link, that's where you will give us your name. And then for all of you who are Christ followers, all of you in Lincoln and South County, this next step, pray that I can become more aware of the influences in my life and diminish those that aren't helping me love God. Will you pray that way? Will you let us pray for you in that way? I want you to pray for me in this way. Will you please, this week, will you pray my name out to God and say, God, will you help Rick not to be influenced in his life by the love of the things of this world, but instead by you? So if you would pray for me in that way, I want to pray for you in that way. So if it's easier to text the word pray to our texting number, and we would love to pray for you. I want to pray for all of us right now. So Jesus, I come to you, and I'm praying for that person that doesn't belong to you yet. Jesus, I pray that they would surrender their life to you, that they would invite you in, that they would acknowledge their need, because they're a sinner and they need a Savior. And Jesus, I pray for them. Show them. Give them eyes to see and hear, I pray. And then Jesus, I'm praying for all the Christ followers. God, I'm asking that we would help, that you, by your Spirit, would help us to stop loving this world and stop chasing after these things that are going to fade. And Father, that instead, that we would live from a posture of loving you so that we can love those around us. Jesus, please come and do that in my life. Come and do that in everyone, every person who can hear my voice right now, whether they're online or right here, or in Lincoln or in South County. God, please come and move and work, we pray. And we pray this in your powerful name, in the name of the Spirit who gives us the ability to overcome. Thank you for that power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, this morning is Communion Sunday. And here's how we do communion at in our church family. We will have a moment of reflection where you will just pause and think and talk to God. You'll ask God, God, is everything right between me and you? And is everything right here on this earth, within my relationships here on this earth? And as you ask God to search your heart, because that's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul said this, let every person examine himself. And that's why we offer this time of reflection. After that reflection, where we'll take your communion. I trust that everybody, even in our locations in Lincoln and South County, everybody has their communion. We're going to take the bread right after the reflection, and then we're going to allow the worship team just to kind of sing a part of a song over us. Listen to those words being sung over us. And then we'll take the cup, and then will you just declare the truth in this song? So, a moment of reflection between you and God, asking God, God, search my heart and know. Jesus, we come to you this morning, remembering on the night of your betrayal, on that very night, you instituted this idea of remembering your death, your burial, and your resurrection through a piece of bread and through a cup of wine. And this morning, 2,000 plus years later, we're still remembering it. We're reflecting upon it. And Jesus, thank you for your body that was broken for us. We're so thankful that you left heaven, you came to earth. Thank you for doing that, for going to the cross to pay for our sins. Jesus, thank you. And with thanksgiving in your heart, will you take the bread? And for all those who belong to God, take and eat.
Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.